Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Payne and Pendergast out. Sean Bajani, Cecil Shorts, the third in. Good to be with you. Hope everybody's having a great morning. Happy Friday. 713-572-4610 is how you can get in. If you want to be a part of the show, you can call or text 713-572-4610. Tweet at us at Cecil Shorts with three eyes at Sean Bajani on Twitter. So the Rockets in Orlando, and we'll probably have a little practice, I imagine, between now and Saturday. Saturday, they are scheduled to have a full practice, I believe, around 2:30 or so in the afternoon.
5-on-5? They're allowed to be back kind of in normal?
Full go there in the bubble, okay. Baby. Teams are already out there and practicing, and I think they're probably chomping at the bit, but probably no more so than Russell Westbrook and James Harden, Luke Bamute, and John Lucas, who did not make the flight yesterday with the rest of the team to Orlando. They stayed back. Reasons have not been disclosed at this point in time, and I'm sure that will be addressed. You want to assume probably the worst, that, oh, my God, these guys, they got the virus. They got the Rona. Yeah. You don't know. I just think, you know, you kind of got to go off of what Mike D'Antoni had said, that he expects everybody to be there, didn't expect any problems, didn't expect, you know, any hiccups in terms of being able to start and take care of business. So that's good. But you also, I always think, like, I'm not like Mr. Conspiracy Theory guy. I do always want to think, like, you should read between the lines with coach speak, because you don't want to create any storm. Like, they've already been through this mess for 3.5 months.
Yep.
Right? You don't want to create any other nonsensical news stories. Okay. And so, yeah, we're a little concerned they might miss time. It's like, oh no, but they're going to be there.
Yep.
Just, they're going to be there a little late. There was some good stuff from Mark Berman from Fox 26 on Twitter. I had a chance to catch up with Luke Bamute yesterday. And I did not know this until I was looking through Berman's Twitter earlier, that Luke Bamute and Russell Westbrook have actually played together before back in UCLA. And you were like, dude, how old is Luke Bamute? It's like, he's only 33 years old. I think Russ is like 31, 32, something like that. So they were there at UCLA for a little bit, and some good stuff from Luke Bamute talking about getting ready for the Orlando bubble, but is excited to be back with Russell Westbrook. Mentions that they hadn't played together since UCLA, but they know each other. And I think it's probably beneficial that they're, I'm assuming, sharing a plane on the way to Orlando, along with Harden and Lucas. But Luke says, quote, "We kind of already played like that when I was here," talking about being, you know, small ball. "Capella was the only big guy. We had Nene at times, but a lot of times we ended up playing with PJ at the five when he was here." Luke Bamute was a difference maker. Nobody can really say how big of a role he's going to play whenever, you know, the Rockets get going.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to tell you that Luke Bamute by far is going to be much more beneficial for this team than Thabo Sefolosha ever could be.
Really?
100%.
Well, what did Luke bring to the table in the past that would be different from Sefolosha?
I thought explosiveness. You know, look, everybody is still a little bit concerned. He probably should be about his knees. You know, does he have his legs under him and things like that from not playing, especially with this team, this season, this kind of pace. But if you remember back to the 17-18 season, that guy was electric. He was a little spark plug, you know, off the bench. I thought he was explosive. I thought he could score when he was called upon to score with that second group. And he was another guy you really just trusted overall with the basketball in his hands. Another legitimate option. And the fact that he's been here with this team before, obviously operating in different circumstances this time, Tabo Cephalosha just never felt like a guy who fit into me. And, you know, look, there's not, you forget, you haven't had a relationship with these guys for 3.5 months. I'm remembering the guy that has already been here. So yeah. I know what I can expect from Luke Bahamute.
Yeah.
You kind of forget about Tabo Cephalosha. You know him from the Oklahoma City days. Like, yeah, he's pretty good there, but just wasn't really digging him with the Rockets.
So I think that brings some comfortable feelings for D'Antoni, just having him before, like understanding what he can bring to the table.
I think so too, yeah.
And then if you look back at the history of any league, they're going to bring in guys who they trust, right? This late in the year, early during the season, they're going to bring in guys that they trust and nobody they can bring to the table. My only issue is how will he fit? Will he have time to understand his role? As a veteran, he'll come in, he'll know his responsibility, he'll know his role, but actually playing in that role, coming in when it's your time to come in, and understanding, okay, what I need to do. And he hasn't played with Westbrook in a while. This difference playing with Westbrook and then Westbrook and Harden, and then or just Harden on the floor. It's like, you know, you have to know who your personnel is, know what's going on, and he'll be able to pick it up quickly, I'm hoping. But it will be an adjustment, especially it might be an adjustment for everybody in their role because, you know, Austin Rivers comes in at a certain time. So-and-so, whoever else comes off the bench comes in at a certain time. McLemore, they're going to come in at a certain time. When is his time going to be coming and part of the rotation?
Exactly. And look, that's the benefit of, you know, at least having, you know, 20-some-odd days to ramp up before, you know, you get started on this abbreviated 8-game regular season schedule before the playoffs. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, there's a reason they took, you know, the top eight, you know, the top 11 teams, you know, or if you will, I think it kind of broke down that way. These 22 teams that had a chance, you know, in each conference. 8 games is a warm-up. It's all about the playoffs.
Facts.
That's what it's all about.
Facts.
And look, the Rockets, they're the sixth seed. That's how this thing ended before COVID hit. And the NBA very easily could have said, you know, like, look, legitimately, we know there's really about 8 teams that you could make an argument for, have a legitimate shot. They could have taken the top 4 seeds in each conference. Well, the Rockets would have been on the outside looking in. You know, if that was the case,
you mentioned that.
If they were just like, hey, let's get this in. We've got to crown a champion this year and have some sort of playoff format. You know, I think this is probably the best case scenario and the most fair scenario. Hopefully it works out this way. But yeah, that would have hurt a little bit. You know, if you're the Houston Rockets, like you have a pretty good season. You're liking what you're seeing with Westbrook and Harden.
Yeah,
they fell flat a little bit before the regular season kind of came to a stop. But it's good to have them back on the court.
Well, I'm glad they didn't do it the way you said it because otherwise the Rockets wouldn't be in it. And we'll miss. Can you picture Russell Westbrook and James Harden not
two of the biggest
in the
stars
playoffs?
In the NBA not in the
that
playoffs?
That would hurt them. That would be dumb for them to do that. Put it that way. That wouldn't be good for ratings. That wouldn't be good. Houston might blow up. That would be upsetting.
The reason why they didn't do that.
Yes. Another reason. I'm not big on conspiracy theories, but I love listening to them. Mm-hmm. I understand you said you don't want to. You came to say, like, I don't want to start conspiracy
I'm with
theories,
you.
But the reason, in my opinion, they made this whole, oh, if you're within 4 games, you have to play for the 8 seed. If you're within 4 games, you have to play a play-in game. You got to beat them twice.
Yeah.
They want Zion Williamson, who we talked about earlier in the show for different reasons. They want them in the playoffs, period.
Sure.
They want Zion. They want to give Zion every chance. Not nobody else on the team. Zion. They want to give him every chance to be seen so more eyes can be on the television.
You know, look, I don't remember because it's been a while. LeBron James has been in the league for a long time, and I don't remember Kobe Bryant's first game. I don't remember Kevin Garnett's first game. You know, like some of the great rookies and great players of all time. I don't remember seeing a player burst onto the scene like Zion Williamson did in his first game, hitting like back to back to back to back threes.
Yeah, it was like, special. It was special.
He was like 4 for 4 on threes, had some great blocks, some great dunks in like 20 some odd minutes of action. And it was like broken up. It was like, you know, a few minutes in the first half. And then he had that real good run in the third, fourth quarter, his very first game. And it was like, oh my God, this is phenomenal. Like right then and there, the NBA was like, aha,
yeah,
we've got something.
And what was special about it, we had to wait till like halfway through the year to be able to watch it, right? He didn't play the first part of the game, or first part of the season. It's like it's anticipation building up. Then he comes and he delivers.
Well, he's right? The Pelicans prize. They didn't want him blowing up any sneakers.
Totally makes sense. And how powerful you got to be to go through some sneakers. Now, quick story. So I had some, there's this flight club place where sell shoes out in New York. And I got one in California as well. And they sell all types of shoes, Nike, Adidas. They got every single shoe ever, right? So I went on there and I purchased some Jordans, but the Jordans were older pair of Jordans. So they were like the 2003 pair of Jordans. It's like 2012.
What colors are we talking
about? They were the white and black 11s. They're like Concords. Cool. But they're older, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had them for a while. I put them on the feet and I'm like, I'm just going to wear them and go hoop. I put them on. I'm hooping, boom, boom, boom. I go up for a rebound. I go up and I feel something leave my foot. And then I come down. The sole of my shoe comes off.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, well,
these are brand new.
Well, they like reconditioned.
Oh,
and my first thought was like, did I buy some fake Jordans?
Yeah.
Like, what am I doing out here? Why is this sole coming off? So I call flight company, like, no, this is the 2000 whatever version, is older. We just reconditioned the shoe.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have been hooping in them. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. But how powerful you got to be? You know what I mean? Going back to this too real quick. LeBron James, I remember his first ever game. And that was a big deal too, because he had his own commercial that day. It was a huge deal.
Yeah.
He played the Sacramento Kings, ended up with like 18 points, a bunch of assists. That was a really big deal. But that's the only one I remember coming close to what Zion did when he came.
Yeah, but I bet it wasn't like Zion's first game was explosive. Like the Pelicans were like down by double digits in that game. And Zion almost single-handedly brought them back in that game. And it was like boom, boom, boom. It's like
it was good.
I thought about it like at this at the time. Anytime you saw J.J. Watt like back in the day, like in his first few years, like it really happened like one year, right? Where he would go in at tight end. Every time he went in at tight end, you knew. Everybody in the whole building knew he was getting thrown the football.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get thrown the football. And it turned out like every time he was throwing the football, he scored a damn touchdown. Like it was a completion. Every time Zion Williamson had the basketball in his hand in his first game, you kind of knew he was going to do something special with it. It got to that point in that game. I was just like, I didn't even mean to watch it that night, Cecil. I kind of stumbled upon it.
It was a later game. Yeah.
And I turned it on at the exact perfect time. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. It was electric.
And he was hitting threes. When you think of Zion, you don't think of three-pointers.
No, he goes like eight games after that and doesn't even take one. It's like, what is this guy thinking like in his first game?
Four with threes. Like, wow.
Yeah. It was a big deal back in the day when Hakeem Olajuwon would take a three, right? Like towards the end of one of the finals games.
Yeah.
I think he runs to the corner, his time's expiring, and he just launches the three and it goes in. It's like, that's the rarity there, you know, and that's kind of what it's become for Zion after that first game. It's like the dude's not going to take very many of those. Cecil Shorts the third, Sean Bajani in for Payne and Pendergast this morning. Coming up next, we've got some encouraging news from Minute Maid Park yesterday as Justin Verlander and Lance McCullers went head to head. We'll let you know what those two guys had to say after their outing. Stay there at Sports Radio 610. And for Payne and Pendergast, Sean Bajani, Cecil Shorts the third. In until 10, Ben Gary producing 713-572-4610, 572-4610, if you'd like to call or text, be a part of the show. So the NFL top 10 continues for ESPN. They've got their top 10 list out today, and it's top 10 receivers in the league. I said, where are all the Texan receivers? It's like they could have one up there inside the top, not just the top 10, but the top five, and DeAndre Hopkins, now an Arizona Cardinal, in at number three. Do you like the top five to top 10 list? Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, DeAndre Hopkins, Odell Beckham Jr., Tyreek Hill. My first question to you is like, man, it's crazy to me still that we're looking at these lists, you know, for top 10 players, quarterbacks, running backs, linebackers, all these things. Today it's receivers. Where the hell is Antonio Brown? I understand why he's not up there, but it's crazy to me that he's not up there.
Yeah.
Everything that he's gone, you know, and done and screwed up over the course of the last year.
He is so talented. And I can only assume that he would stay on the pace that he was, right? If he was when acting up, he was uncheckable. He wasn't the fastest guy, and he may look fast on the field, but he's more quick than fast. But he was able to create separation at the top of his routes. Which is why he was so good and be able to catch the ball. To me, he'll be the number two receiver in the game, like easily. It'll be Julio, it'll be AB, and then DeAndre, Beckham, and Thomas. It'll be those five guys.
You kicking Tyreek Hill out.
I wouldn't put Tyreek in my top five. And Tyreek's exceptional.
Who was it the other day?
But I wouldn't put him in my top five.
Yeah, I probably know the answer to this. Was it like Stephen A. Smith that said the other day, like Tyreek Hill's like the best receiver in football or something like that?
I missed that by far. I wouldn't be surprised, but that's ridiculous.
Nobody's
better than Julio.
Somebody said Tyreek Hill was the best receiver in the NFL. I don't know. I only brought up Stephen A. because he says those kinds of things all the time, like it was, crazy
who was it?
Things.
It was somebody. No. It was Dez Bryant.
Oh, it was Dez Bryant.
Came out and said that he's the best, besides Mahomes, Tyreek's the best football player.
Yeah,
that's and I'm like, okay.
Yes, not just the best receiver.
I'm like, Dez, you need to go home and delete your Twitter. Hold the app. When it pops up, hit delete. Just delete it for a while.
Hashtag trying to stay relevant, I guess. You know, because what's going to happen to him? Like, that's crazy, too, how he kind of fell off.
Now, real quick before we move on, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, two guys on the same team on that top 10 list. But if you go top 10 receiving cores, I think you can have the Texans up there. Like the full receiving core.
I think that's easy. I think top 10 is easy.
Yeah.
You know, I'd have to think, but I'd say they could probably approach a top 5 receiving core.
I would agree. Off the top of my head, you got the Browns with Odell and Jarvis, but I don't know who else after that. You have New Orleans with Antonio and Samuel Emmanuel Sanders and Michael Thomas. You got the Tampa Bay with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. But after that, I'm not sure who else. They got to be in the top five.
I wouldn't be prepared to put them, like, inside the top five. Like, not just because, like, well, it should be easy. You guys can't think of anybody else. It's like, yeah, but, like, let's be honest, man. There's much more potential for what the Texans can do in the receiving core than there is
production right now. There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
So
that's fair enough.
We're also at the point too where there's not a lot going on, and that scares me a little bit because I don't want people to forget how much you're going to miss DeAndre Hopkins. The Texans will absolutely miss him this year from game 1 to game 16. You might be able to, like, you know, put the pieces together. And we talked about it briefly towards the end of the show, I think earlier this week. You know, you made a really good point where, you know, you were saying, like, look, hey, look, in certain situations, I think you referenced the conversation by Landry Locker and Wade Smith, actually, mm-hmm. like in a Kansas City game. I can't remember if it was the one during the regular season or during the playoff. Mm-hmm. But it was like, hey, look, you know, who's their go-to guy? I mean, period. It could be any game, really. Flat out, who's their go-to guy? It's DeAndre Hopkins, and they don't have that guy anymore. And I said, yeah, but everybody knew. Like, the one thing that DeAndre Hopkins and Andre Johnson had in common, for my money, is not just that, you know, I think they were both kind of squandered here, like their talents were squandered in terms of, like, not having, like, the best team around them the whole time, but it's that you knew that that was the number one option every single time. Yep. When you were in trouble, you knew exactly where the ball was going to. Everybody in the stadium knew it. Everybody on the other sideline knew it. And that kind of presented a problem because as good as Hopkins and Johnson both were, like, you can know it's coming and I'm still going to get it 9 times out of 10. I still think it pigeonholes you into what you are capable of offensively. I think what the Texans got going on right now has strong potential to be dynamic.
It definitely has potential to be dynamic, but it's going to be hard to replace number 10. You know, just to be honest.
Yeah.
You're going to need him in clutch situations. You don't have the same guy that he was on your roster right now. You just don't. Hopefully you can build chemistry in this short time with the guys, and eventually he can find another guy that he can go to in clutch situations to make the tough catches, to make the tough throws, make Deshaun look good. You know, he was his outlet. When he was in trouble, he went straight to 10. You know what I mean? When he was rushed, he went straight to 10. When he needed the first down, he went to 10. So we'll see how it goes. But, yes, I agree. The depth that receiver is awesome. They have potential to be very, very good. But right now it's just potential, and hopefully it turns into production.
What I meant to say is we have had so much time without sports. I worry people kind of convince themselves of these things.
Oh, that definitely happened.
You know what I mean? Well,
and then the shocking factor that he's gone. Because exactly. It won't hit you until you lay line up game one and you realize, oh my gosh, we don't have number 10.
We were getting bombarded with texts this morning about, dude, ask Vandermeer what it's going to be like seeing DeAndre Hopkins catch touchdown passes from Kyler Murray this year. And I was like, I don't want to do Vandy like that this morning.
I'm on depress Vandy. You can't depress Vandy. He's such a good move.
Yeah. I mean, it's Friday. We're trying to have a good time here. Cecil Shorts the third, Sean Bajani in for Payne and Pendergast. I mentioned really encouraging things from Minute Maid Park yesterday, just outside of the fact that there was actual baseball played in the inter-squad scrimmage. Justin Verlander had some really interesting quotes after the game yesterday. He said this, quote, "It was so important to treat today like a regular season game, to have the walk-up music, to have all of it, and pitch with silence, pitch without people in the stands, because that's what we're going to be dealing with." He continued, said, "Me personally, I haven't pitched in a game like that in 25 years. And this was the best part. He said, "Today was a huge success for me, in my opinion." And that means a lot, because if you watch like a lot of the little snippets that have made their rounds on social media, Verlander walking on and off the mound and just operating in an inning, it looked like, yeah, he was in midseason form, but his body language, just the things that you're used to seeing from JV, that it looked like a regular baseball game outside of the fact that Javier Bracamani was making like all-star plays in the outfield.
That was pretty cool.
Aged bullpen catcher, by the way.
You mentioned he had his batting practice or whatever, warm-up shirt on, and his hustles.
He was in like full winter gear.
Snag it. And when he snagged it, everybody ran to him. He kept running. He kept running around like, "Hey, I did it. I did it." And everybody, like you mentioned,
I finally watched the video cool with the sound on, and you can hear just the ambient noise from like the players in the stadium. I mean, it sounds like there's it sounds like there's a few hundred people there. You know, it's like, yeah, everybody's high-fiving Bracamani. So that was definitely one of the other highlights from the game yesterday. Lance McCullers, this should be very encouraging. This, his first competitive pitched game. Yeah. Very long time. Wow. He throws 67 pitches in four innings. That's probably something you would expect to see for a guy that's making his first start coming off of Tommy John, maybe even less than that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So that's kind of encouraging in itself that, hey, when actual baseball games begin to be played later on this month on the 31st, wait, no, the 24th,
yeah,
opening day, really the 23rd because of the two primetime games, and then everybody else gets started the 24th, including the Astros. You'll see Lance McCullers, you know, early next month, and he's probably going to be well beyond four innings if he's feeling really good in 67 pitches.
That's exciting, man.
Yeah.
And you saw the swag and the confidence from both guys yesterday. Like, they looked like they were ready to go. It's credit to them. They stayed prepared, especially McCullers. He went through a grueling offseason as far as just, you know, fighting off surgery and doing rehab and trying to get back in shape. It's been a long, long journey.
What did he have? He was diagnosed with like a torn UCL, right? In November of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a long freaking time.
He's been battling, man. So to see him out there yesterday and, like you mentioned, competitive, you know, a competitive atmosphere, and for him to go at 67 pitches and look good.
I don't know why, but I still kind of get. Baseball's coming back, baby. I'm excited for this. I still kind of get some chills because I immediately, like, reading Verlander's quotes after the game yesterday, I thought of, like, The Rookie with Dennis Quaid. You ever seen that movie, like, where he, you know, he's a pitcher for the Tigers in the movie? Like, you know, a great pitcher. And the whole game, it's like it's him, you know, recalling, like, his past and stuff like that. And to focus, he says, "Clear the mechanism." And it's like the crowd goes silent. You can't even see it. It, like, blurs out. And it's just, like, him in the catcher's mitt. Thought about that, like, reading Verlander, like, you're not going to have ambient noise unless, like, yeah, they do decide to pipe crowd noise in. I don't know if I'd want that or not.
I think it'll be fun to see.
I want to see it in, like, its raw form.
Like, raw form. You hear emotion. You hear a guy. Like, the way you heard the screaming and yelling yesterday when they got excited.
Yeah.
I don't know if you hear that in the game, but I want to hear more, like you said, pure baseball. Pure game. And then, the swag that Verlander had. It made me excited. Him walking off the mound, looking down, like, he just, you know, that's him. Like, he's back, and baseball's back.
I want to get to this guy because I haven't talked to him in a very long time. Larry in Stafford once on Sports Radio 610. What's happening, my man, Larry?
Hey, what's going on, Sean? Cecil, how y'all doing, man?
Doing great. Good morning. I feel like it's been at least a year plus since I've talked to you, man. I hear you all the time when you call in, so good to talk to you.
Hey, but Johnny, hey, man, you know you are, me and you always been cool, man, and I ain't had a chance to say congratulations to you on your child, man. That's big ups to you and your wife, man, and your family, man. And Cecil, man, I'm hearing good things about you, man. Congratulations on the new career that you embarking on. So you know you boys, a couple of my favorites, man. And I just wanted to get in on a couple of things. And first of all, y'all hit it on that McCullers and Verlander thing. You know, it's like when you see those dudes out there, man, it gives you the confidence that the Astros have followed their plan when Crane took over and Lou Dow and all them boys decided we was going to lose 100 games. And then to see all these guys just come through the system now and be ready to start with it, with whatever these 60 games is going to be, I am excited about the fact that we got some dogs over there with Verlander and Greinke. And looking at Lance, he don't even look like the same cat that he was back in 27. He looked like he had muscled up and matured. And,
yes.
And I like dogs like that, man, because if you're getting ready to battle something that you don't know about, you want some dogs that you can let out the fence, man. So I'm cool with that, man, which takes me to my Texan point. And y'all talking about DeAndre and Andre when they played with the Texans. Here's the thing about that, and I don't care what people say, knowing that those two dudes was on the squad gave me a whole lot of reassurance that we was going to be all right, because I don't give a damn what the other team set up to try to stop them. Them boys was going to make plays. And if your ass needed a 3rd-and-3, I guarantee you Dre and DeAndre was going to move them chains for you. So that's why it's kind of a little hit or miss for us to see how this whole thing going to play out with Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb there, man, because we knew for 10, 15 years that Dre was a dog, and we knew DeAndre had learned from the GOAT, and it was going to always be one of those things that we can always depend on. And I just hate that for Deshaun, because I knew Deshaun loved having DeAndre on that squad. But, fellas, it's going to be interesting. This COVID thing got us all a little bit messed up. To make this thing work and get through this thing together, man. Keep up the good work, fellas, and y'all know I'll holler.
Appreciate you. Larry and Stafford, everybody.
I love Larry, man.
Always good to hear him. Man, that just kind of makes you feel better on a Friday when you hear from Larry. Good stuff.
Opposite
there
of McClain.
The opposite of John McClain. 713-572-4610. Don't do John like that, Ben. Come on. 572-4610 if you want to be a part of the show. Final segment.
You look sexy as hell.
Final segment coming up next. Things you might have missed, including a major blunder by the Washington Nationals. You guys will enjoy this. And sports betting coming to an NFL stadium near you. I'm Ron Burgundy. Stay there. Yeah, buddy. Happy Friday. Sports Radio 610 welcomes you back in for Payne and Pendergast. Former Texan wide receiver Cecil Shorts III. He's feeling it this morning. Excited, ready to go. Sean Bajani. Me, not so much. I haven't had a cup of coffee since 4:30, but I'm making it. It's okay. How many cups of coffee have you had this morning?
Like, just one. Just okay. Just one that gave me the boost I needed. Thanks again to you. Second shout out today. Thanks to you for waking up this morning.
Yeah,
thinking
baby.
About others, right? Thinking about others.
Trying.
4:30 this morning and fixing the coffee machine here in the studio.
I try. Probably the most successful thing that I've done over the course of the past 3.5 months is fix the coffee machine. And I don't know if anybody's really going to be around besides you or me to appreciate that.
Hey, that's all that matters. No, I appreciate you dearly for that.
Because apparently this kitchen's a little bit closer than that kitchen. So people go to that one. Yeah, that was an ordeal this morning. But glad to be here. Appreciate you joining us and being part of the show. If you want to give us a shout this final segment, 713-572-4610. Get you in call or text. So I did not know this was a thing until you brought it to my attention last night, but I enjoyed it just a little bit. However, I wished it would have been everything that I thought it was going to be when I read the headline in regards to the blunder that the Washington Nationals had on Steven Strasburg. So yeah, I'm going to bring that up just for a little bit, just for a little context. You remember how great Steven Strasburg was in the postseason.
He was awesome.
I mean, tremendous. Obviously, with the World Series, had 2 victories over the Astros in that series, but a perfect 5-0 throughout the postseason. Guy was tremendous. Like, you should know this guy, and you should know how to spell his name. I don't know if it was like Balfour or what, you know, like the guys that make like everybody's high school rings, you know, yeah. It seems like. I don't know who made their high school, or who made their high school ring, who made their World Series rings, but they spelt his name wrong on the box whenever he got it. And you know, it's a nice wooden box, you know, that you get your ring in. And so it's misspelt on the box. And he says, I got a little nervous at first because on the outside of the box that it came in, my last name was spelt wrong. But when he opens the box and pulls the bling out, you know, he looks inside of the ring and on the side of the ring, and it was spelled correctly. So he says, luckily it was spelled correctly on the ring. So I was pretty happy about that. I'm like, damn it. When I read that, I was like, I wanted the ring itself to be messed up. But at least, you
know. Close. You came close.
Yeah. I mean, we should all be bitter. The World Series hurt this past year, man. It stung like an extra little bit. But when I saw that, I was like, God dog it. The first thing that I thought of, there's a great story that just came out this past week about the New York Giants Super Bowl rings from 2011, I think, were stolen. Did you know this?
All of the rings?
A lot of the rings
okay.
were stolen. And this is a very, very complex story, but I don't have time to get into it right now. But basically, there was this lifelong criminal who lived in this small town where the rings happened to be made up close to New York, right? And he found out about it just by doing research online.
Oh, wow.
Like this one jeweler in this town got the rights to make these rings, and he was looking to pull like this major heist, and he literally like power equipment, like saws came in through the roof and ended up busting out the front door.
Oh, that's like some Ocean's 11 type
dude,
stuff.
It's crazy. That's the first thing I thought of is like when the rings went, when they had the misspelling of the ring, it was like, I don't know why. I just read this article. It was a really good story, by the way. I'll try to find the article and tweet it out for you guys. But so Strasburg had the misspelling on the ring. And I got to thinking, it's like, all right, things you just can't get wrong. Like, things you absolutely have to have your name spelt correctly on, like high school, college diplomas, right? Like your nameplate on the door at your office or your mailbox at the office, mm-hmm. like emails, like just things that like to let you know that people actually give a damn about you, you know, like they can't screw that up.
Yeah, that it bothers me when people say my name wrong. It's like Cecil or Cecile. But if you just simply, if you care, you could at least spell anybody's name correctly.
Right? Yeah,
it shouldn't take that long to look it up. Or if you're at a school, if you're at a school and somebody spells your name wrong on the diploma, they don't care about you.
So
that's just lazy.
Whenever I graduated college, it was at Hoffman's Pavilion, and you have to write your name out phonetically if you have a difficult name to pronounce, unless it's like Smith or Shorts. You know, it's hard to screw those up. Like Bajani, you know, you look at it. I had to write mine out phonetically, okay, just to make sure it was going to be pronounced right. So I think I did like B hyphen John and then E, right? So like that was easy. They totally butchered that. I don't know what they said. My father-in-law makes fun of me all the time for it. You know, I can't remember exactly what it is, but it was not even close. And I'm like, oh, Lord. Like in front of thousands of people at Alphonse. It's like, yeah, that's me.
Give me
my paper.
You said Smith and Shorts shouldn't be hard to mess up. Instead of putting Shorts, usually it's Short. S-H-O-R-T.
Come on, man.
It can be like if my daughter got like a certificate or something, they always put Short. I'm like, y'all can just add the S.
That reminds me of like Kevin Walters, right? People have gotten that wrong so long. I even forget now if it was Kevin Walter or Kevin Walters. I don't know. Former Texan wide receiver.
I assumed it was Walter. I didn't know it was S on it.
Maybe it's not, but people always, I don't know. It's probably Walter, but people say Walters. Now I say Walters. I don't know what it is. I'm going to have to Google it. Yeah. My bad, Kevin.
I always thought it was with no S. Watch her.
It probably is. Betting lounge is coming to the Mile High in Denver. We asked Vandy this earlier today, and he's not like the betting guy that Pendergast is. He's probably frothing at the mouth.
I can't wait to hear him.
Promise. Here's the thing, though. Is there we thought it was going to be at the Raiders' new stadium.
Yes. I mean, Vegas, why not? It just made sense.
It was a gift.
Because Dan Revelle.
Darren Revelle was in the middle of like...
Broke it without really breaking it.
Yeah, he says he didn't break it, but he was made privy to the breaking news, I guess, since he's the sports business guy and the gambling addict along with Pendergast. But, I mean, this is kind of a cool deal. Apparently, this is like the third deal that Denver had actually had with a betting site. Like, it's Betfred, FanDuel, BetMGM is actually going to have the physical space inside of the stadium. So that's the difference. I just wonder how long until this trickles down to other NFL teams. Can you imagine like having a betting lounge at NRG?
Well, he kind of explained the lounge.
So awesome.
It would be cool, but he kind of explained the lounge. The goal is for everybody to get the app, right? So it's a lounge. I'm sure you have drinks, you have food, all that good stuff. Uh-huh. It'd be nice. But the goal is for everybody to download the app, and then that's where they make the money from.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
I think it's part of that atmosphere and all like, you know, cool. You get screens and stuff up there that you can follow like other games and
it's going to be to the atmosphere of a football game. It's going to be pretty cool. And I guess it depends on the state, but I think it'll trickle down pretty well.
We're trending that way. Not even just football. I mean, it'd be cool to just like to have things like this at football. I mean, not football, but basketball and baseball stadiums.
Yeah.
But I wonder, like, how much owners would actually want that stuff in stadiums because it would take away from, you know, the viewing experience. Like, if you had it, you could only be, like, in a select part of the stadium, right?
Right.
Or would you have it, like, throughout the stadium, potentially? Like, you have, like, really nice suites, you know, in these stadiums, and you pull people in when you really want them out and watching the game and being a part of the atmosphere.
Yeah, I guess I have always one part of the stadium. I think that would be cool. Just one part, have a lounge, make it really exclusive, make it like a club type thing, you know, and then because I do want people focused on the game. I want people with the atmosphere. Like if I'm a player or if I'm an owner, I want people to focus in on the game at times. Like if it's a big game we need to win, I want the crowd to be into it, you know?
For sure. So something else you guys might have missed out on. There's a time and place when this is appropriate. Let me preface this by saying that, for most people, the opportunities to do this are few and far between when it comes to betting on yourself. But Baseball Hall of Famer John Smoltz is kind of in prime position, man, to really make some money here. And he's one of those dudes that's just, like, good at everything. He's playing in a golf tournament this weekend. It's called the American Century Championship, and it's probably – one of those things like you would typically see like Tony Romo, Steph Curry, who's also really good at golf. I don't know if he's ever played in this thing, but he probably would if he wasn't getting, well, he's not playing basketball because his team is not good. so he might be playing in this actually. But Smoltz, like earlier this week, happened to catch like the betting odds of how he would fare in this tournament coming up this weekend. And he saw that he was 30-1. Apparently, he's very confident that he's going to win this thing this weekend, even though Tony Romo has like run away with favorite. This thing here in recent years, and I think he's the favorite again this year. Two-time defending champ is Tony Romo. Mark Mulder apparently is really good at golf, too, and has won this thing a time or two. Smoltz thinks he's going to win, so he put like a bleep ton of money down on his 30-1 odds. So if there's ever a reason to watch like another live sporting event outside of like soccer you probably don't care about or Korean baseball, a little golf this weekend and watch John Smoltz potentially win a lot of money.
That would be actually fun. So I'm going to pay attention to it to see if he can come through. Betting on yourself, there's no better feeling probably. If you bet on yourself and then win and you beat Romo, that's pretty cool.
I don't know how you're able to view this. I don't know really if it's like televised. I'm going to have to look it up.
I guess I assumed it was.
I know. I think he's teeing off with Roger Clemens and Greg Maddux like at 2:00. That would be Lake Tahoe. So that'd be like what? 1:25? No, it'd be like 3:25 Central Time. So if you want to check that out this weekend, I'm going to try to do it. I love golf, but I love watching guys that you don't typically think of play golf. Like, have you ever seen Tony Romo play golf? Sometimes he looks like you and me out there, but a lot of the times he's actually really good. That's one of the things about that. Cecil Shorts III, Sean Bajani with you in for Payne and Pendergast this morning. A few short minutes, so a lot of things happening. Here's some things to look out for the rest of the day, and that are updates on James Harden. Russell Westbrook, Luke Bamute, and John Lucas, guys that did not make the trip to with the rest of the team to Orlando. We'll see what happens there. We'll see if any kind of news breaks. If you were listening in the 8 o'clock hour, then you might have been made privy to something like that, but most of you probably were not. I'm going to leave that up to Landry Locker and Wade Smith to kick around. They'll have the show coming up at 10 o'clock. They might have some fun with that. But if you didn't hear it and you have no idea what I'm talking about, it's up to the imagination.
Okay? There you go.
So you're going to have to pay attention here to Sports Radio 610 throughout the day. And, hey, Astros encouraging news yesterday. That's huge. We've had a busy week. A lot of news over the course of the last couple of days, Cecil. What are the biggest stories, the things you're looking most forward to that have come from the week?
I think it started with Harvard. Or I say Harvard, the Ivy League. You know, them canceling fall sports or delaying fall sports and then having that, you know, kind of trickle down to Big Ten saying, hey, we're only going to play conference ball this year. And then having ACC thinking about doing the exact same thing. And
yeah.
It's just so much that goes into it. It's like, okay, what's going to keep happening? What's going to keep happening?
Exactly. It's like, what next? Because it's like every day that there is a league or a conference that makes a decision, somebody else like one-ups, you know, or, you know, like that's a really good idea. Maybe we should consider doing this.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You have some college athletic directors and even commissioners saying, okay, we need to make decisions and we need to make them now. We need to figure out what's going on. But I think it was the SEC commissioner yesterday that was like, well, we need to proceed kind of slowly on this. It's like slowly.
No.
Football's like a month away. No, okay. It's supposed to be.
Yeah. You
got to get going here.
You got to get going and make a decision. And it can't be money based, right? It's safety over money, in my opinion. You got to figure out what's best for your athletes, for your coaches, for their families, for the staff that's going to be around. It's interesting. If there's a possibility that you won't have people on campus, students on campus, why the heck would you have sports on campus?
Oh, you're right, 100%. Isn't it hard? Harvard was like one of the first schools, if not the first school, to like cancel classes.
Yep,
like
strictly online.
Right?
Strictly online.
Now, haven't they come back and they said now it's going to be strictly online this next year?
Yeah.
But tuition's exactly the same.
Oh, yeah. They're not lowering the tuition. Of course not. What's that, like around 40 grand almost?
I think I was hesitant in saying that, but now that you mentioned it, I think I remember seeing $40,000 plus, $40,000 to $49,000. Yikes. Chances are, though, if you're going there, you're pretty good for it, right?
You are right.
The fam's good.
You are right. Or you got a scholarship and, you know, academically or something, grants. It's ways to go about being able to afford that type of stuff.
100%. You know, first world problems. I don't have to worry about that. I'm so tired and glad that I'm not in school anymore.
But your son's coming up, Bubba.
My son, yeah, Bubba's coming up.
You got
man.
About 18 years, though.
Yeah, stop, bro. I'd be 56.
You got a good 18 before that happens.
There was a time where I was like, you know, if I have my first child at 30, when he's 21, I'll be 51. We can drink beer together. It'll be cool. Like,
good times. Good times.
Now it's like when he's 21, I'm going to be like, I'll be like 58, fastly approaching 60. I don't want to think about that. Kind of miserable. Figgy's playing us out. That means Landry Locker and Wade Smith are coming up next in the loop. Cecil, a lot of fun. Payne and Pendergast will be back all next week. In the meantime, have a great rest of your day, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.